الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين، من أقامها فقد أقام الدين، ومن تركها فقد هدم الدين، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us with an opportunity of witnessing the month of Rajab. Rajab is one of the four sacred months in the Islamic calendar. Inna iddat ash-shuhur 'inda Allah 12 shahran fi yawmin khalaqa Allahu as-samawati wal ard minha arba'atun hurum. Allah mentions that Allah created the year with 12 months, and from those four are ashhurul hurum, sacred sanctified months. Even in the time of Jahiliyyah, the time before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh and the Arabs used to revere this month, these months. And these four months are Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. These are the four months which are regarded as sacred months. If there was war in between any groups of the Arabs, then when these months would dawn, they would leave the war. So these are sacred months. Sharia kept their sacredity or the sacred stance of these months. And one of them is Rajab. In this month, whether it is the 27th or not, the incident of what we know as Mi'raj took place, Isra wal Mi'raj. Quran mentions part of it. Quran mentions the travel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. And this was something which was indeed very miraculous. And a person with faith only will believe in this. So Rasulullah ﷺ was resting, some say in the house of Hani, who was his cousin. And the roof of the house split open. Rasulullah ﷺ was taken out through the top by the Malaika, taken to Kaaba Sharif. And there, his chest was split open, his heart was removed, washed with water in a tray filled with zamzam. And then it was re-put into his body and it was closed up again. And thereafter, Rasulullah ﷺ was taken on a conveyance which is known as al-Buraq, which is smaller than a camel, or rather smaller than a horse, and bigger than a donkey. And this was an extremely fast horse or conveyance. The speed of travel was as far as its eyes could see. When Rasulullah ﷺ initially got onto it, then it became a little bit defiant. And Jibreel rebuked it and says, Abi Muhammadin taf'alu hadha? Are you doing this with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Nobody better than him has ever come upon you. And then the Buraq sweated profusely. And then it calmed down. So Rasulullah ﷺ traveled with this conveyance to Masjidul Aqsa. And there he made imamat. He led the salah. And all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam followed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam Masjid al-Aqsa, Rasulullah SAW performed the salah. That is why we term him as Imam al-Anbiya, the leader of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter he travelled up, and when he reached every heaven, permission was sought first. The Malaika asked, "Who is this with you?" Jibreel. So they knew Jibreel, obviously they knew Muhammad also, but it was this protocol they had to follow. So he replied, "This is Muhammad." So then they say, "Marhaban bihim," they gave him salam and they allowed him to come in. Rasulullah kept on ascending the heavens until he came to Sidratul Muntaha. And here, this was a huge tree and it had what is termed as butterflies or moths all around it, shining. And commentators of hadith mentioned that these were malaika which were thronging around this tree. And Jibreel tells Rasulullah ﷺ, "This is the last station, I cannot go further than this." And Rasulullah ﷺ continues to ascend. He meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he converses with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows Rasulullah ﷺ with the gift of salah. Initially it was 50. Rasulullah ﷺ comes down and descends through the heavens again. And he meets Musa alayhi salam after that again. Musa alayhi salam asks him, "What has Allah given you? What gift has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed you with?" Rasulullah ﷺ replies, "Allah has given me 50 salah." Now Musa alayhi salam, he had his own ummah and nation, the Bani Israel, and he had good experience with them. And he was troubled very greatly by the Bani Israel on many occasions. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam to tell his people that now we must go to Jerusalem and conquer this land. And then this land was being controlled at that time by very strong and huge built people, the Amalika. So Musa alayhi salam told his nation that do not go and see them. Just put your reliance and trust on Allah. And Allah has promised that when you go and enter it, Allah will give you victory. But they went and saw first, and they saw these huge people, and they became afraid. And then they mentioned to Musa alayhi salam, "Idhhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun," that you and your Rabb go, we are sitting down here. You and your Rabb can go and fight. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to move around the valley of Tih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed it up all for them. They would travel by day, but they would not be able to come out. It became like a maze. It was a small area, but they could not exit from this area. Until later on, the Rasul Musa alayhi salam passed away in this time, Harun alayhi salam passed away. The next Nabi, Yusha bin Nun, was the same youngster who went with Musa alayhi salam when they went to visit Khadir alayhi salam or Khidr alayhi salam. He was the one now, thereafter, who took Bani Israel and conquered Jerusalem and Palestine. So nonetheless, Musa alayhi salam had very great experience with the Bani Israel. And he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, "Go back and speak to Allah and tell him to reduce the amount of salah. Because I have experience with Bani Israel. Your ummah will not be able to perform so much of salah." And this is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah kept on reducing it. Rasulullah s.a.w. went up and he came back down. Musa alayhi salam asked what happened. Allah reduced it to 5. So 45, 40, going right till 5. And then Musa alayhi salam said again to Rasulullah s.a.w., "Go back and get more. Takhfif, reduce it even more." Because Bani Israel had 2 salah only to perform and they could not perform it. So Rasulullah SAW thereafter tells Musa alayhi salam, "Now I'm feeling shy." And one of the reasons was obviously Allah was decreasing 5 at a time, and now you have to go back up. It is as though he's saying to Allah, "Ya Allah, this gift which you have given me, I do not want it, and make it 0 now." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Rasulullah SAW, "This is 5 salah I've given your ummah. If they perform it correctly on time, in the correct manner, then they will get the reward of 50 salah." So we are performing 5 every day, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding us with 50. And this is a great gift to us. Salah is a great gift. Rasulullah SAW likened salah and the pillars of Islam to a tent with 5 poles, and the middle pole is Iman. And one of the important pillars and poles of that tent is Salah. Hadith is mentioned, As-salatu imaduddin. Salah is a pillar of deen. Man aqamaha faqad aqamaddin. Whoever establishes Salah, then he has established the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ. Whoever leaves out salah, then he has destroyed the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we think that the enemy of Muslims and Islam is the West and the Kuffar and the Israelis and the Americans. But we have failed to understand that possibly even more than them is that we ourselves are destroying deens with our own hands, with our own amal and actions. The hadith mentions, man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-deen. Whoever establishes salah, performs it correctly, punctually, with the correct adab, then he has established the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا, whoever leaves out salah, does not perform salah, then فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ, he has destroyed the deen of Allah. He has destroyed the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith mentions a person who performs salah in the correct manner. In fact, this is what Umar radiallahu anhu also mentions. When he was stabbed and fatally wounded before his death, he was unconscious. So some sahaba used to visit him. One sahabi came and saw his condition. And he asked, what is the condition of Umar? He said, he is, as you see, unconscious. So he said, if you want to wake him up, then announce for salah. Announce for salah. Give the adhan, he will wake up. So the time of salah used to come, and the sahaba used to give the adhan by Umar radiallahu anhu, the call to salah. And as unconscious he was, as soon as he used to hear the adhan, he would come into consciousness. He would wake up, and then he would say, yes, there is no position in deen for the person who does not perform salah. And in that wounded state of his, bleeding, he would perform his wudu and read his salah. And the hadith also mentions, whoever performs salah in a correct way, فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَى. He has become successful and he has passed. Two words are used. فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَى. And whoever destroys the salah, whoever does not perform the salah, خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. He has lost out and he has become a failure. So salah was a very, very important position in the life of a believer. Today, unfortunately, majority of us have restricted salah to Jumu'ah. May Allah forgive us. So you will see a person on a Friday in the masjid, mashallah, the salah for Jumu'ah is full, but then the rest of the salah of the week, a person does not perform. Yes, Friday does hold greater importance than every other day of the week, and it is the Eid of a believer. In fact, in deen, Friday is more important and a more honorable day than even the day of Adha and Fitr. This is the best day of the entire week. So people give their due importance when it comes to the Jumu'ah Salah, the Jumu'ah prayer. But the rest of the Salah, it is as though they have not considered it as compulsory upon themselves. Whereas hadith mentions, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ أَعْمَالِهِ أَوْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing to be reckoned for, the first thing hisab will be taken about a person on the day of Qiyamah is salah. If his salah is correct, everything else will go very smoothly for him. If his salah is correct, all the other amal will be easy and okay for him. And if his salah is found wanting and deficient, then the rest will all be difficult for him. So very important is that a person perfects his salah. One is performance of salah, and the other is perfection of salah. Many people maybe are five times daily musallis. They are coming to the masjid for salah. Before we continue, what is the meaning of iqamatul salah? Establishment of salah. Hadith uses the word iqamatul salah. Very few places will you find in Quran hadith where the word for salah is salla yusalli being used. Salah. Very few places you will find. Majority of the places is mentioned iqamatu salah, aqimu salah wa atu zakah, iqamatu salah wa ita'u zakah. It is mentioned regarding iqamatu salah. And what is the meaning of iqamatu salah? Iqamatu salah means to perform the salah in the correct way, with all etiquette, in the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And part of it is salah with jama'at. The place for a male, a believer, believing male, baligh person is in the masjid. where adhan is called out and where salah is being performed with jamaat. This is where salah has to be performed. The Hanafi madhab has made it easy for us. Is that they say that if a person performs his salah for a valid excuse or for any reason, or even if he does not have a valid excuse, he reads his salah at home, then the salah is regarded as valid. It has come off his shoulders. But they are the madhahib. The Hanabila, Hanbali madhab, and others, Maliki madhab, that state that if a person, in some aqwal, in some viewpoints of theirs, if a person performs his salah without any valid reason at his home, and he does not go to the masjid, then that salah is not valid. It's not counted. He has to repeat that salah. He has to make qada of that salah. It is not valid and not counted. So to establish salah is to perform it in the correct way. A sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day comes into the masjid, and he reads his salah very quickly. And thereafter he comes and makes salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to him salam and says to him, irjali, go back, read your salah again, you haven't performed salah. You haven't performed salah. So he goes back, he reads again, he comes back, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says him second time, third time. Thereafter he says, ya Rasulullah, this is the only way I know how to perform salah. You show me and teach me how to perform salah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, when you stand up for salah, you say your takbir, you recite your qirat, and you go into ruku, and now he said, the hadith mentions that you must go into ruku and become a total composure and ease. Then you come up, and then you stand up with total composure and at ease, your body must be at rest. And then you go into sajda and the same thing. And then you come out from sajda, and it what is termed as jalsa. And the same thing, your body must come to ease and at rest. And like this you complete your salah. If we analyze and look at the salah of majority of the people today, we'll find that this is missing. Probably because we are not reciting the du'as that has been mentioned in Quran and Hadith for these multiple postures. So a person, he will come and start his salah, and he will go into ruku and come out. He will go into sajda and come out. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah mentions, like the pecking of a crow. Where his head goes down and he comes back up very quickly. And he doesn't even go into one sajda and he's in the next sajda already. So salah has to be performed in a correct way. Many, many mistakes that people make in their salah, which can invalidate the salah. The lesson of Mi'raj is salah. That was the gift of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every other command, whether it was sawm, zakat, was all given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam via the agency of Jibreel. Wahi of Quran through Jibreel, hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed the ummah that certain thing they have to do, certain thing they have to abstain from, refrain from. But when it came to salah, Allah took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up and gifted him directly. So salah is such a gift, and sahaba really valued salah. When salah came down, they became extremely overjoyed. Now they could talk to Allah and communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and ask Allah for all their needs. This is the life of a believer. We are not lost, even though the Rasul is no more with us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His teachings, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where a person in need, he can turn to salah. Any calamity, turn to salah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Quran mentions, seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through patience and through salah. This was the practice of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Abbas is traveling. And the news of the death of one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reaches him. He gets off his conveyance, performs salah in tashawud, makes dua for a long time. After his salah, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un. People ask him why. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when any calamity befalls, then perform salah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease. And what calamity can be greater than one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing away or leaving this world? So salah is a great gift for us. If we really understand what benefit salah will bring us in this world, we will never leave it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, I have heard your footsteps in me in Jannah every time. What is it that you are doing? So Bilal radiallahu anhu says that perhaps it is because after my wudu breaks, I take it as a right upon myself to make a fresh wudu, and I owe it to Allah to perform two rakat salah. It is perhaps because of this you have heard my footsteps in Jannah before you. So performance of salah, but salah has to be done correctly. Allah, Quran mentions, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful are the believers, those who have khushu in their salah. Concentration in their salah. One of the first musibah and first calamities to face the ummah was khushu of salah being taken away. Maybe in a whole jami' masjid you will find people are performing salah, but not one of them has his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest calamity. So we need to develop that khushu and perform our salah in the correct way. So a few things that will invalidate the salah is, number one is that we don't say the takbir when beginning. Many people, they start their salah, their lips are sealed. Allahu Akbar is just the movement of their hands. They come to salah, they fold their hands, and the salah has begun. This is no salah. It has to be the saying of takbir, Allahu Akbar. And thereafter, the recitation of Quran. Not the thought of Quran being recited in the mind. That is not qiraat of Quran. So Quran has to be recited. There must be movement of lips and tongue for the recitation of Quran to take place. So this is one of the main causes of people's salah not being valid in the first place. A person is coming to the masjid for 50 years, 60 years, but he's starting his salah silently, and he's continuing salah silently, and he's reciting Quran in his mind. This is no salah. Another thing is our postures have to be with ease. Is that a person goes into ruku, say the tasbih 3 times, and say it in such a way that it is beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person goes into ruku, it is so fast he's saying it, if someone hears him, he doesn't even know what he's saying. Subhana rabbi al-azim. Some ulama fuqaha have mentioned if a person changes the za to za, his salah is faster than broken also. So tajweed also is very important. All these things we need to correct in our salah. And then the qoma, coming out of ruku, make sure your body comes at ease. That is why there is dua, Rabbana walakal hamd. This is minimum we can recite. The dua that Rasulullah ﷺ used to recite was, Rabbana lakal hamdu mil as-samawati wal ard. وَمِلْ أَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمِلْ أَمَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدُ. If you recite this dua, then a person's body definitely will be at ease. And then in the ruku and sajda, the same thing. In the sajda, same thing. In the position between the two sajdas, because we have not made it a habit to recite the dua, اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني وعافني واهدني وارزقني, beautiful dua, that is why we find a person has nothing to read, he goes back immediately into sajda. And this posture also goes away unfulfilled or fulfilled in the invalid manner. And another thing that we should take consideration in our salah is that in sajda, few limbs have to be on the body. A person's palms, his forehead, not his nose only. Some people go into sajda, their head goes onto the ground, but their forehead is off the ground. The forehead has to be on the ground. The nose part of it. The two palms, the two knees, and the toes of the feet. You will find people making sajda, their feet are above the ground. Or their feet are upside down. The toes have to be on the ground. For this, if the person's feet are raised in his sajda position to the extent that where not even one subhanallah was performed or said in his sajda, then the sajda is not valid. So nonetheless, visit the ulama, speak to them, discuss with them, ask them to check our salah. Like how Rasulullah saw the salah of a sahabi and he corrected him, like that also. Check our salah by some ulama and ask them if our salah is being performed in the correct way. So we are responsible for ourselves and also our family. Salah is not only for us. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. And it is very important that we see how our family members come upon salah also. Person maybe is coming for 5 times, say daily salah himself in the masjid. But his wife and children at home, he is not worried about them. They will be the means of taking him into Jahannam also. If he is not worried about them, they will take him into the fire of Jahannam. So be concerned about our family members, how they can also come upon salah. And for this also, we can send our children to the maktab and madrasa. Alhamdulillah, there is a maktab running in this area also, from 3 to 5. And if our children are not going to any maktab, then enroll them in the maktab. So that they can also learn about the salah. Sometimes a person has no time to teach his children, or maybe he does not know how to teach them in the correct manner. He does not know himself. So he should visit the imam of the locality, send his children to the maktab also, inshallah. They will benefit, he will benefit. So in this way we will correct our salah. And once our salah becomes correct, Allah becomes happy. And salah will be a means of changing our lives also. Salah will take us away from evil. There are so many fawaid and benefit of salah. Even bodily, there is benefit of salah. You know, persons, the best salah a person can perform after the fard salah is tahajjud. The person performing salah at that time of the morning, it is very refreshing for the body also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal, correcting our salah, and coming on to such a salah which is beloved in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah.